And he is going to direct it and act in it, and he's going to take the place of Nicolas Cage in the Left Behind series with Jerry Jenkins, Tim LaHaye as writers. And now I heard they're going to do a sequel to that. The problem is, it's continuing the popular misconception, Dallas Seminary. Tim LaHaye's a graduate of Dallas Seminary. I like Tim LaHaye. Don't wish him bad, but unfortunately, the popular misconception about Christ's coming is that suddenly, if he came right this moment, my clothes would just be laying here. And that would be all you would see, just my clothes laying here. I would disappear. That's the way it's presented. And anybody in here that's not saved, that has not put their faith in Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, you would be there to see that and then go into 7 years of what's called tribulation. And unfortunately, while you want an awareness of Christ's coming, the error can be difficult and destructive to people when we enter into that time period. The Bible says we're not ignorant of the times and the seasons. I think about Christ at his first coming. The Bible scholars knew exactly where he would be born, in Bethlehem. When Herod wanted to know, he got the Bible scholars, they told him right where he would be born. They had facts right, but they were not able to discern the Messiah when they saw him. They had some confusion. They believed that the Messiah would come like on a white horse, which he is, on his second coming, and free them from the Romans. And they looked for a Messiah that would just take care of all their needs and do miracles and exalt the Jewish people. That's his second coming. They got things wrong, out of place. And I believe that popularly that's the way it was, and that's the way it is right now. And tonight, the revelation, which, by the way, when we say revelation, you know from Sunday school that it's the making bare naked, the reality of Christ at his coming, so that you can really see it as it is. You can not be fooled. It's just exactly as you see it in the revelation, that he makes it clear how things are going to be and how Christ is going to appear. And in my message, I'm entitling it, and it may be more than one message because may need more time, but it's entitled Church Members at Christ's Parousia, which is just another way to say that's one of the Greek words for Christ coming, parousia. It means Christ comes and he continues with us to do certain things. In his first coming, he came and he was here. I'll ask one of the men, how long a period was Christ's first coming? Can you hear that? Can you give me that mic, Alicia, my pastor mic?
33 years.
Yeah, 33 years for his first coming. Now, his second coming will take place in less than a period of less than 3 years. Less than 3 years. I can't give you the exact amount of time because God doesn't, but it will be accomplished, his second coming, in a period of time. That's what the word parousia means. And then there are other words that speak of Christ's coming. So we want to think about that tonight. And we're looking at church members at Christ's coming. Parousia. Church members at Christ's coming. And the first thing I want to say to you when we look at church members, members of churches, Christian churches at Christ's coming, number one, many will be slain by the sword of the Lord. Many will be slain by the Lord, sword of the Lord. Somebody has said, Christ is coming, but who can bear it? Who can bear it? At his first coming, the same thing was said. He will be for the fall and rising again of many. When he came the first time, were not many people judged that thought they were holy, that thought they were righteous? Were not they judged and were not they condemned? He said, "Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites." And it's a scary thing. Because when he came the first time, the whole nation was not ready for his coming. They were not ready, and that's why he cursed the fig tree. And remember, the fig tree withered up because he didn't find fruit on the fig tree. Remember John the Baptist, he said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. He said you need to repent, and that means repent of your self-righteousness, receive the Messiah, the King of Israel. You need to repent, and then he said, and bring forth works, meet for repentance. And that was not done by the scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites of that day. And I believe the second coming similarly is going to come upon the church, and many in the church, if not most in the churches, will be in for a rude awakening. And the first thing I want to say is slain by the sword of the Lord. And for that, turn to Revelation and chapter 2. And we want to look at the church of Pergamon. Last week we looked at the church of Pergamon and the seat of Satan. Remember that? And we said where it was moved. By the way, I looked it up today because somebody asked me. Not today, the other day. I looked it up. The seat of Satan is now in Berlin, Germany. And they have delayed the opening of the museum. They're calling it a museum for this whole temple of Pergamon. And they've delayed the opening now. First it was delayed, I think, to 2023. Then they said 2024. Now they're saying 2025. That's going to factor. That's going to factor. And we think about Europe and we think about Germany and the leadership role it has in the European Union. That's going to factor. Think about it. Think about it. It was key to Adolf Hitler's rise in his first coming. Think about it. But tonight, I'm not preaching on that. I'm talking about church members at Christ's coming. And I see here in Revelation chapter 2, the church of Pergamon, and what it says about this church at Pergamon. By the way, the word Pergamon means married to the world. Married. And they were known for uniting with the world and the worship of the world. The early church at Pergamon in John's day was known for uniting their worship with the worship of the world. And that's going to happen at the second coming. There are going to be people that will take the mark of the beast and still praise Jesus. It's the same old, same old. It's the same of the early Roman Catholic Church. When Constantine made it a state religion, they took in the ungodly idols and brought it into the church and married it and brought it all in. And so the teaching was that. Also, in Pergamon, they had the teaching of Balaam. And remember, Balaam, he couldn't curse Israel, but he wanted the fame and the money that he would get for pleasing King Balak of the Midianites. And so he's trying to figure out how he can help Balak and get around the fact that God wouldn't let him curse Israel. And he was as shrewd as the devil. And he came up with a plan. He said, just get the men to go to the parties where the pretty Midianite women are, and they'll get involved in their worship services. And with that is sexual immorality, and they'll get involved in fornication with these women, and that will ruin Israel. God will judge Israel. And that's exactly what happened, until Phinehas stood up and took a spear and put it through the back of one of these guys in the belly of the girl that came into an Israelite tent. With one spear, it went through his back and her belly. Figure that out. And God's judgment. He praised Phinehas for that. But you see, The Bible says that Balaam, when he did that, he hung with the world because of the money and because of the fame. And here's what it says in Numbers 31, verse 8. Balaam also, son of Beor, they slew with the sword. You see, God sent judgment. God sent the armies of Israel to judge the Midianites and the Midianite women that had lain with men, and every one of them were killed. And Balaam was killed with a sword. A prophet of God, supposedly, killed. You see, in a Pergamon-type church, as we come to the end, and as we come to the coming of Christ, many members of such a church are going to be slain with the sword of the Lord at his second coming. You say, well, where is that, the sword of the Lord? Well, try Isaiah 11, verse 4. It says, of Christ, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his lips, and shall he slay the wicked. Isaiah 11, 4. He's going to bring a sword right out of his mouth, and he's going to kill people with that sword. You see, people don't understand the second coming of Jesus Christ. His first coming, he came like a lamb. He came meek and lowly. Remember James and John when they went through Samaria and the people fought against Christ? You know, they mocked him, and James and John said, shall we call fire from heaven? And he said, you don't know what spirit you're of. He didn't want to curse them. He said, I came to save them. But when he comes again, he's not coming to save. Did you hear me? When he comes again, he's not coming to save. He's coming to slay with the sword of his mouth. And there'll be, you talk about population reduction. There'll be a huge population reduction. It's going to be a time of great judgment. And it will culminate with what's called the Battle of Armageddon. And that's when all the armies of the world get together. And they all aim their guns on him. I'm talking about the bear, Russia. I'm talking about the dragon, China. I'm talking about all the nations of the earth, my friend. The European Union and all of the unions and kingdoms. They're going to, in a big UN army, they're going to try to take him out. Boy, you see it. I tell you what, you see it even moving in a place like Canada when they don't want God in Canada. They don't want any reference to the Word of God in Canada. That's where this world is moving. And the second coming of Jesus Christ for church members, he said there's going to be all kind of hypocrisy. There's going to be marriage of having a form of godliness, but denying the power of it, where they really can't stand the things of God unless they can dilute them with the world. And that's what's coming down the pike. And I remember I preached a message in 1984 at our old building in Greenridge. And we had members of this church. They wanted to unite the world with Christianity. They wanted to make social drinking acceptable. And the deacons at that time were pushing it. They wanted to make rock music acceptable to be used in our worship, and the deacons were pushing it. They wanted to have all kinds of worldly practices and unite it with the church, and I began to preach against it, and I was told if you keep preaching against it, you may not have a place to preach. And I remember preaching a culminating message, and it was called Who is on the Lord's Side? Remember that in Israel? And that's when Moses went up on the mountain. And what were the people doing? The Bible says they sat down to eat and they rose up to play. And that wasn't play on the monkey bars. That was playtime boutique play. That was that kind of play. And they rose up to do that because the Bible says they had the wrong music. They had fornication. They had it all going on. And where did it all come from? They had an idol. They still said we're worshiping the Lord, but they used an idol. Isn't that what the Catholics do?
Right.
Well, I don't want to have any crucifixes. I don't want to have any passion plays with Jesus. I don't have anything to do with it, friend.
It's good.
I'm just saying tonight that that this is what happened in the early Catholic Church, and this is going to happen in the end time. Marriage with the world and married worship with the world, it's going to lead to immorality, and the Lord is going to come back, and people that were church members are going to experience the sword of the Lord killing them, slaying them. You say, when will that happen? Right after the rapture. Right away. As the judgments of God fall on this world, according to Revelation 8-19, it'll culminate with the Battle of Armageddon. I'm saying also that when he comes again and the Lord slays with the sword of his mouth, you got to understand why he is doing this. Because his coming, listen to me tonight, will be precipitated or preceded by a man who works with a Jewish false prophet to set up an idol of himself in the temple of God, in the Holy of Holies, in Jerusalem, and he's going to demand worship. Now listen to me. The Lord is jealous, and he does not like any rivals, and when he sees Satan making a move to raise up his man, and it is Satan's man, and Satan wants to be the unholy spirit and wants his man to mediate the kingdom of God on earth. And he'll raise up a Jewish Antichrist. And he'll raise up a beast, a Gentile world ruler. And it will be a trinity of evil. And when the Lord sees that, it is going to move him to jealousy, to move him to wrath. And here's what the Bible says. By the way, the bigger they are, the harder they fall. I mean, God will come against it. And then it says, and then that wicked shall be revealed in his time. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 6. I'm saying this type of church member that will be slain by the Lord's mouth, by the sword out of his mouth, that church member will both worship the likeness of this man and the Lord as well. He may go and worship the image of the beast and have the image of the beast in his house. And that image of the beast will be in households and towns all over the world. It will be an image that will not only be in Jerusalem, but people will have an image, and that image will talk. And that image will help them, quote unquote, tell them things. It'll be very popular to have. This kind of person will have the image of the beast, and also he will not only have a statue of the beast in his house or access to it, but he will also go to church and genuflect before Mary. Genuflect before Jesus on the cross. It'll be just like it's been. A marriage, that kind of a church, will be slain by the sword of the Lord. Why? Because the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing sunder, soul and spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I remember back at that same time, one of the deacons coming to me and telling me, you can't preach this, and you can't preach that, and you can't preach this. And I thought, you didn't die for me. You don't tell me what to preach. There is a place right here, and here it is. And where I get called to preach, that's mine. And I will be here, and if I want to split my pants on my pulpit, I'll do it. If I want to beat my pulpit, I'll do it. And once you try to get rid of that, that's the work of Satan. Right. Because he's trying to take away the sword of the Spirit. But when you take away the sword of the Spirit, you're going to get the sword right out of his mouth. And it will kill people. And that is what's going to happen at the second coming of Jesus Christ. You say, what are you talking about? 2 Thessalonians 2:8 says, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. There's a word, epiphania. We just said parousia, epiphania, brightness, a shining. The coming of Jesus Christ will not be secret. It will not be some clothes just laying there, and then we enter in secretly to this period of wrath called the 7-year wrath. No, 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 no. When the Lord comes, it'll be a showdown that'll rock the world. Glory. it'll rock the world. And that's what we're preaching. That's what we're believing. That's what we're looking for. And I'm so glad I don't believe in a secret rapture. And it's not going to happen that way, beloved. Get ready for His coming. His coming will, first of all, take churches that are married to the world, like the Pergamon-type church, and they'll be slain literally by the sword of the Lord and by the brightness of His coming. That's 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. We're talking about church members at His coming. And there'll be churches that will have a number of church members, and it'll be some saved people in those churches. But listen to me, they'll have to deal with it when the mark of the beast comes, because then it's going to be a challenge for them. And then secondly, not only slain by the sword of the Spirit, but there's a second thing we see, and I'd like you to look at it in, go to Revelation, this time chapter 2, verse 22 and 23. This is the church at Thyatira, which is similar to Pergamum, but to another degree. So go to Revelation 2, 22 and 23. I'll read it, you follow. It says, "Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I am He which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works." You say, how do you know that the church is here in the 70th week? Because this is talking about the time of God's wrath. And there are going to be churches that will experience the wrath of the Lamb as He comes back. Churches that will experience the wrath of the Lamb as He comes back. And He's saying here, here is a church at Thyatira, and that church tolerated a woman that God nicknamed Jezebel. Jezebel. You heard of Jezebel? And it comes from the Bible, and I shared this with my Sunday school class, that Jezebel was a Zidonian princess. She was the daughter of Ethbaal, and she really was a wicked woman, because she married the king of Israel, and she encouraged him in doing something he wanted to do, and that was to have the worship of Jehovah, but to bring in Baal worship. And her feeling was, we'll tolerate the worship of Jehovah, but when people see Baal worship, it's going to be so much more superior than the worship of Jehovah. Because you see, Baal was celebrated with a phallic symbol, and then the female was the Asherah, the wife of Baal. And so it promised, you're going to have children, you're going to have productivity, you can have children. And not only that, you're going to have a lot of money, your fields are going to be fruitful. Baal would promise you that. And of course, you had to offer to Moloch and to Baal, you had to offer your babies, you know, in sacrifice. But all the returns were so great, and you're going to have this. And then you come to their temples, and in their temples they have male and female prostitutes. Anything goes, anything you want. It's a sensual thing. Enjoy and worship the god Baal. Well, we know who's behind the god Baal. It's Satan. And it goes back, Baal, it's Satan. And so, you see, this lady was similar to the lady in the New Testament, that she brought this in. And what happened, whenever you see a Jezebel, who do you see? One of the men tell me, if you know, who do you see that God always raises up when Satan brings in a Jezebel to try to unite Baal worship with Jehovah?
Jehu.
Now that's very true. He does bring in a Jehu, and he did bring in a Jehu. And I'm thinking of somebody else, more of a preacher than a soldier.
Elijah.
Elijah. That's exactly right. And so God raised up Elijah that called fire from heaven, which is a symbol of what? God's judgment. God's judgment. And then after judgment came rain, which is a symbol of what? Revival. That's what we need. If we're going to delay the judgment of God and have a time, we need a revival that would shake America and would shake Pennsylvania and shake our lives up. And we need the work of the Holy Spirit today. And so what I'm saying is that in this day, that was Jezebel. But in John's day, in this church of Thyatira, there was another Jezebel the devil raised up. And sad to say, the preacher must have had lace on his underwear and was a chicken liver. And he did not stand up to Jezebel, did not confront her, did not call her to be disciplined as the Lord told us to do in the church. He didn't do it. And so her teaching began to thrive. And it spread. And many people in the church were involved in it. And I don't have time to go into it in detail, but I can say this, that it involved craftsmen who had, you know, professions, and they were part of a union so they could have more money for their crafts, and they would have get-togethers or big parties, and at the party there was an idol worship going on there, a sacrifice to an unholy god going on there, just like Jezebel, and they were promised more money and prosperity, so people in the church went along with it so they could get more money and give to the Lord, you know, and they would offer that sacrifice when God says flee from idolatry, and then that led to fornication, and that teaching was going on, and Jezebel was promoting it amongst the people of the church in Thyatira, and God said, no, I am against that. That is something that I am 100% against. And so, you know, I think of Catholic priests today. They go along with abortion, many of them. Catholic people saw our sign when I put things on there that took a stand against abortion, and they actually thanked me. They said, our priest, he wimped out. He doesn't go along with that. I think of people like Joe Biden and Nancy Pelosi and all the power they've had in the United States, and aren't they supposed to be Catholics? And they find churches, you know, where they can be considered good Catholics and yet have their religion of globalism, their religion of abortion, which feeds Baal and which feeds Moloch, and these things that they're doing, that there is evil that is taking over this country. And what a sad thing it was. I watched that State of the Union, and all I could think of, what a sham, what a hypocrisy. What a lie. What evil. And praising Paul Pelosi? God help us. The wickedness. And these people are rejoicing in wickedness. And, you know, that is exactly what happens when, listen to me, when God's word is not upheld. That's exactly what happens when Jesus Christ is not exalted. That's exactly what happens when the word of God is not preached in power and in the Holy Spirit. And so let me just say this, and I'll be done. Notice what it says in verse 22 of Revelation 2, and I'll read it again. It says, just notice, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death. And all the churches shall know that I'm he which searcheth. What's he talking about there? What's he talking about there? He's saying that people that go along with this kind of idolatry and this kind of immorality, and they try to be good church members, when Christ comes back, they are going to have great tribulation. You say, is that talking about the great tribulation? No. The word for tribulation is pressure. It's being squashed like in a corner, like a foot is coming down. It is God's tribulation on you, which is God's pressure. When does that happen? During the day of the Lord's wrath. This is not a reference to the theological Great Tribulation of Matthew 24. It is a reference of the pressure that God will bring upon the world. You say, well, where else do you get that? I shared it with my Sunday school, but I'll give it to you in closing here. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. 2 Thessalonians, go to it, please, in chapter 1. I'm going to show you where it's God's pressure upon the world during the day of the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and look with me at verse, go there, look with me at verse 6. 2 Thessalonians 1, and look with me at verse 6. I'll read it. You follow. Here's what it says. Seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense what?
Tribulation.
Tribulation. Is that the great tribulation? Does God bring the great tribulation down upon us? Does God bring the great tribulation down upon us? No, that's the wrath of Satan. That's the wrath of the beast and the Antichrist. That's the persecution of the elect of God. This is talking about God bringing Philippus pressure, squashing people that have lived these ungodly lives and hypocritical lives and are church members. It says, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. When will you be troubled? You'll be troubled by people during the great tribulation of Satan when they persecute you and go against you and yet claim to be good church members. He says it's going to, the table's going to be turned on them. He said it's a righteous thing, verse 6, to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And then look at verse 7. And to you who are troubled during the great tribulation, rest with us when? When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven in flaming fire, taking vengeance. The tribulation here is the day of the Lord's wrath. It's God's tribulation on the world. And I just proved it. You understand that?
Yep.
If you understand that, then what Harold said, you could say, yes, but Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Yes, but Jesus is coming again. And is he angry? And if he doesn't give us justice right now, and I'm praying for that, but if he doesn't, it'll just be all the greater because it's building and building and building. And when it comes, it comes. And you say, should we be concerned about that? Absolutely. And it should motivate you to get people saved. But his judgment will come. It came when they rejected him in his first coming. It came in AD 70 in the form of the Romans. It's a great judgment that's coming. And I'm just saying that when Christ comes back, listen to me, church members are going to be slain by the sword of the Lord. Many of them. When Christ comes back, church members are going to be squashed when the Lord comes. Squeezed, squashed in the day of the Lord's wrath. I think about when Donald Trump won the 2016 election. And you might not like Donald Trump's personality, but I don't look at that. I look at what he got done. Versus what's being done by this. And I remember that woman sitting up there, Nancy Pelosi, and he got done speaking, and what did she do? She ripped it right in half in front of everybody. Who saw that? I know God saw it. Thank God for that Pastor Pelosi. He's not shutting his mouth. He's speaking up. He's saying homosexuality is wrong. Sodomy is wrong. It's sinful. It's wicked. And you see how Joe Biden praised it. Did you see it? He praised it. It's not enough that you tolerate it. And I don't tolerate it. But you got to celebrate it. You got to praise it. Say, it's great. It's great. It's great. No! Jesus Christ is coming. He's angry. There'll be no houses of prostitution, sodomy when he sets up his kingdom.
Amen.
He's going to burn this thing and cook this thing.
Yes.
And when he comes back, those that have been saying, oh, peace and safety, church members during the Great Tribulation, because they sold out, because they took the mark, because they took that temporary jab in the hand or the forehead, because they took it and sold out, my friends, they're going to relax and say, peace and safety, and we worship Jesus too. And people are going to be grieved and arrested and put in jail, and then it'll be a capital crime to serve Jesus as number one. You can serve him, but he's got to be number two, like Baal and Jezebel. I'm saying Jesus Christ is coming back, and many church members will be slain by the sword of the Lord. Many church members will be squashed by the solipsis. Let me get that out there. I can't say it. Philipsis. Just relax. Philipsis. Which is God's great tribulation upon the unsaved world, which is the day of the Lord, theologically. So, you just rejoice that Christ is coming back. And if you're going to get people saved, do it now. Don't wait. Let's bow for prayer. I wonder, before we pray,